topic of today's shiur is Pesel Micha.
Oh, good.
Pesel Micha, one of the odder, perhaps the oddest of the stories in Shoftim. We had mentioned when we started off that there's a pattern in Shoftim. The pattern is nobody's in charge, so the people do bad, so somebody attacks, so people cry out to Hashem, so a shofet is given who gets everyone to the tshuva, and then Bnei Yisrael beat back whoever it was that was occupying them, and everything's well for a while until the shofet dies, and then nobody's in charge, and then people start to sin, etc., etc. This is the exception to the rule. This is a case where it seems that people sin and nothing really happens about it. So we'll read through it and try to get a little bit of an understanding. Vahi ish vehar Ephraim ushmo Michayo.
Yud Zayin.
It can be found on page, I have no idea, in the Artsville Polish. So, we're introduced to a fellow named Michayo. This starts with a very odd story. Vayomer Le'imo. Elf mea kesef shelukach roch. Vat alis v'gam amart v'oznai. Hine hakesef iti ani rakachti. Vatom re'imo baruch b'di v'adonoi. He said, remember, Mom, someone stole from you 1,100 gold pieces and you cursed whoever that person was? Well, guess what? It was me. This is our introduction to Michayo. His mother says, don't worry about it. It's fine. Gets better. Gimel, Vayoshev es elef umea kesef li'imo, Vatomer imo hakdeshik dashti es a kesef adonoi miyadi livni, Vasos hapesel masecho vata ashivenu loch. He said, no, it's not my money anymore because I made it hektish. I said, if this money is ever found anymore, I will give it to Hashem. So therefore, take the money and make an idol with it. Obviously, her idea of to Hashem was a little different than what we would have expected. Vayoshev es hakesev li'imo, vatikach imo masayim kesev, vatibnehu ratzoref, vayaseu pesel masecha, vayehi beveis michayo. So, in fact, they take 200 of these 1,100 coins, and they use it to make an idol, and that they set up the idol in Michayahu's house. And what do they do with the rest of the money? Well, it all goes for, I guess, good purposes. Vayish Micha lo beis Elohim, vayas eifod utrafim, vayimali es yad achad mibana vayilo kohen. So in fact, he sets up an entire congregation, and he installs his son as the kohen, the rabbi. Vayamim ha'em ein melech v'Yisrael, ish ha'yashar be'enov yaseh. So, this was a time when there was no one really in charge and people were doing whatever they wanted. What's the story with this guy, Micha? Good guy, bad guy? Surprisingly unclear. If you look at the Medrash, which is number one on the Yud Zayin sheets, the Elio Rabba says, Anochi Hashem Okech, B'ramish Nistaka Akosh Baruch Ba'olam Kulo Shabara, Misof Olam Vad Sofa. When God created the earth, he was able to see the entire history from beginning to end. But Sofabem Ba'asara B'nei Adam Shebaratu Bo. And he found that there were 10 people who rebelled against him. Number one on the list, Ve'eluhen Micha. Micha ranks up there very high, together with Yeravim ben Nevat. People know who Yeravim was. Yeravim was the person who split the Malchus Beis David in half and set up a Beis Avodah Zarah to avoid people going to the Beis Hamikdash. The Ben Yisraelis, the person who cursed God in the Torah, the Mekoshe Sheitzim, etc. These are all people that are clearly not very upstanding individuals. Number one on the list, as you would expect, is Micha. Micha is seen as somebody who is not very good. However, the Medrash in Bamidbar has a somewhat different take. The Medrash says, Harasharim kolin lishmam. Whenever there's a Rasha who's listed in the Torah or in Tanakh, first you have the person's name and then it says that is his name. For example, Novel Shmo, Goliath Shmo, Sheva ben Bichri Shmo. Right, these are all people that were not very good. People probably know Goliath the best. Right, but Naval was another person who fought against David. Sheva ben Bichri rebelled against David. In all these cases, first you have the name of the person, then it says Shmo. That's how you can tell it's a bad person. Avah HaTzadikim, Shmam Konun. However, when they list the name of a tzaddik, first it says, and his name is, and then the name. Ushmal Elkanah. Elkanah was the husband of? Chana, right? Good man. Ushmal Yishai. Yishai was the father of? David. Ushmal Boaz. We all know Boaz. Ushmal Mordechai. Ushmal Manoach. Dom Leborim. So this is why they said Shmo first, because just like Hashem, Ushmal Hashem. Skipping down to the last line, third word from the last, in the second last line, Ay, it says, Ushmo Michayahu. Now if you look here, in the first pasuk, when we're introduced to Micha, first it says Shmo, and then it says Michayahu. Which would indicate that he is in fact a tzaddik. Ofishayim akavo orchim nichtav Shmo kishem atzadikim. The other thing really was, Benon Machveru is a very good guy. That he was regularly, he'd have guests come over to his house. And because of that, he is listed as a tzaddik. Even though clearly his Benon Machveru was lacking. But still, because he was good with Benon Machveru, the Medrash tells us that in fact he's listed as a tzaddik. This idea is also in the Gemara. The Gemara in Sanhedrin in number 3. B'nei ma'alo manu es micha. They should pito mutzio over drachim. When they listed the people don't have a chel kom haba, why don't we have a micha on the list? The answer is why? Same idea, because whenever somebody would pass by, he would invite him in for a meal. Shinamar v'chol over v'shev el avim v'avar bayam tzara v'ikha bayam galim. So it says in the Zechariah, and he passed through the difficult lake and he was hit by the waves. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Zul Peslo Shel Micha. Tanya Rav Nosson Omer Migarav LeShilo Shlosha Milin. From Garav, where he was located, to Shilo is 3 meal. A meal is approximately a kilometer. A kilometer is?
6 centimeters.
There you go. Okay? So, there you go. All the education, all the money your parents spent was well spent. So again, so three meal would be approximately 2 miles, right? Still, v'haya ashan hamaracha. So the Mishkan was in Shilo. The smoke that would come up from the mizbeach, the ashan pesel micha, the smoke that would come up from micha's breakaway beis hamikdash, this arvim zebezeh, they would mix together. Bikshu malachim asher sadokva. So the malachim saw this and said, "No, this isn't right. There should be some separation here." Amar lahem Hakadosh Baruch Hu, hanichu lo shepito mitzuyo over drachim. Let him go. He's a nice man. Very fascinating. If you look at Rashi, Rashi gives us a little bit more of the background as to who was this person. Zeh pasul shemich. Pasul shemich. Shekasa Moshe as Hashem hishlichu al hanilos ve'aleu aronos Yosef. When it came time to leave Mitzrayim, Bnei Yisrael had promised that they would take the bones of Yosef with them. But where was it? It was buried in the middle of the Nile. How are you going to find it? So Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the name, the Shema Mefarash, threw it in and said, Alei Shor, and the casket came floating up. So Micha jumped into the water and he stole the name. So what did he do? So as we know, when it came time to make the egel, so Aaron had this idea. He said, I'm going to make it myself. So he figured, how long is it going to take him to make it? It's going to take days at least. In the time that he's stalling, Moshe will come back. However, the egel shows up right away. What's the reason for that? Well, Micha had this piece of paper that had the Shema Mefarash, which said Ali Shor. He threw it into the gold, and this came to life because he had the Shema Mefarash. And I say, yeah, Ali Shor, rise, calf, ox. That's what happened. That's who Micha is, Rashi tells us. Lishnach, Micha asa pesel v'yil imo kishavu Yisrael hayam. The other possibility is, who is Micha? The Pesel Micha, when did it take place? So you expect Shoftim, this is some very later date. Quite as you know, Micha made the Pesel back in Mitzrayim. Now, Shoftim we know is not in order. Shoftim, there's a general agreement, is not in chronological order. In fact, the last story, the story of the Pilegesh Begiva, definitely took place at the beginning of the book. So we know that there is no real chronological order between the stories. There is a certain amount, but not totally.
What's the earliest that it could have been?
But this would be very early, right?
How early?
So we're going to read what happens with the Pesel Micha, who's going to happen. But the beginning of the story, which involves the making of the Pesel, would go back very early. Now, there is a fair amount of
this.
No. Let's take a look at number 8, for example. Okay? So, according to number 8, which is the Seder Olam Rabbah, which is a chronology, that assumes, as we would have suspected, Yeshua appeared as Yisrael Esther Mishmona Shana. Yeshua was in charge for 28 years. The Erech Rechma Eva Vayamas Yeshua Benun Vayik Veru Oso, etc. Boba Perak Mesa Lazar. Elazar ben Aaron died at the same time as Yehoshua. Shneimar, Elazar ben Aaron meis. Vayavod Yisrael as Hashem. Things were good. Asher herchu yamim. Yam herchu v'oshanim. From there it was just a matter of days. It wasn't a matter of year. What happened then? V'achrov Asniel ben Kenaz. Asniel ben Kenaz is the first of the Shoftim. Right? Arbim Shani. That's a 40 year. Same ayam shnei she'avdu el kushan rishatayim. Shmona shana. V'mei kushan rishatayim v'yu pesol shel micha. And in the middle of that was the story of the Kushan Rishatayim, and Pesel Micha happened at that point. So according to Seder Olam Rabbah, the story of Pesel Micha happens at the beginning of Sefer Shoftim. However, if you look at the Radak at the beginning of this parak, he makes it clear that he does not agree with this. Right. Number 9, right? He ish mehar refayim shemar yichiyo, kosm Seder Olam ki b'mei Kushan haya Pesel shel Micha, sh'ne'amar v'yesimo em es Pesel Micha asher asa kol yemei hayos shem Pesel Hakim. It's a long piece, I'll just say it outside. Here's the point being that it's clear that at the time of Pesel Micha, we were not holding Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim was captured by Asniel in the first parak of Shoftim. So the Radak says, if Yerushalayim was not in Jewish hands, and it became in Jewish hands at the very beginning of the Sefer, this has to predate that as well. Now there's a famous quote, a vort, by the Gra. When you read about, right before Oz Yoshia, twice from Emdling, it says, V'hamayim lehem choma miminam umisvalam, that when they were passing through, the walls, the water was walls to them to the right and the left. Now, if you look in the Chumash, the first time the word Choma is spelled with a Vav, Ches Vav Meme, the second time it's spelled Chosa without a Vav. Now, the word Choma without a Vav literally spells the word Chema. Chema means anger. So why the first time is the walls are Choma, they're strong, and the second time they're Chema, they're angry. So the Gra offers two possibilities. The first possibility is, when it came to jumping into the Yam Suf, not all 600,000 people had the same thing in mind. There were those people who were saying, I'm the Nachshon Ben Aminadav, I'm going to jump right in and trust in God. And then there were the people in the back who were saying, I'm right behind them. And if they make it through, I'm right behind them. And if not, you know, I'll think twice. Right, you know, they're kind of playing the odds. Right, a little bit like the story by Avram and his brother, Haran. Right? Haran says, if Avram survives the Kirshan Ha'esh, I'm with him. If he doesn't, you know, I'm not with him. Okay, so obviously, the Harans of the world do not deserve the same praise as the Avrams or the Nachshons of the world. So the first opinion is, when the first people went through Vayimayim Lehem Choma, the people who showed that they had true belief, that the world stood at attention to them. They deserved it. They showed great emunah. The later people, when Vayimayim Chema was up to them, they would go and they'd drown these people. These people didn't really deserve the miracle. That's one opinion. The second opinion that's offered by the Gra is, no, When they went through the Yom Suf, they went in a very specific order, in the order that they would march throughout the Midbar, through the entire time. Right? We know the last of the Shvatim, they used to go in the Midbar, was the Shevet of Dan. Dan was with the Ma'aseh Fuchol HaMachanos. They were the people in the back, anyone who got lost, anything that got lost, they would pick them up. So as we'll see in the story, the Pesel Micha wasn't done. So the Gra says, when the first people went through, the Mayim Lehem Choma, so the first Shvatim, the water stood at attention. However, when Dan came through, they had Pesel Micha with them. And therefore, V'mayim Lehem Chema, that the worlds were not as excited about it. So you definitely have opinions out there. Again, it's very hard to pinpoint when this happened, because Shoftim in general is very hard to pinpoint. Likewise, we have a difficult time pinpointing when did the Rus happen. Right? What does it say in the beginning of Sefer Rus? Vayihi bimei Shoft HaShoftim, right? It happened during the time of the Shoftim. However, we don't really know what Shoftim you're talking about here. Some people say that Ibsan and Boaz are the same person. That's when it happens. Other people know it's Shoftim. It has to be the son of Devorah. For the son of Devorah, there was Devorah and Barak. There wasn't just a Shofet, there were Shoftim. It was plural. There's a lot of discussion. For some reason, right, the chronology of these times are questionable. So, among the questions that you have out there is did this perhaps happen even before the rest of Shoftim, before the first parak? Does maybe even the beginning of the story go back to the time of Mitzrayim and only continue later? Now again, as the story goes on, it'll become clear that there is a fair amount of sense in trying to put it at an early time.
How long was the period of the Shoftim?
Around 300 years. Again, the order is the Shoftim begin clearly with the death of Yoshua, and they go until basically the birth of Shmuel, right? That we know, right? Because Sefer Shmuel begins with Chana, right? Tefil Chana is maybe a year before the birth of Shmuel, and Shmuel, example, etc., that all has to be chronological. It's the life of Shmuel. Shmuel then anoints David. You have the life of David. David dies at the very beginning of Malachim. Then his sons take over. Right? All the rest of the Sfarim go very straight. Right? The entire Sefer Yehoshua is not a very long Sefer. Right? It's around 20 some odd years. It's the life of Yehoshua. It's this time of the Shoftim that are very confusing. I'll give you another example. So, Pirkei Avos. Moshe kibel Torah mi Sinai, umusaru ale Yoshua, Yeshua ale
Zekanim.
Zekanim and Neviim.
Okay.
Neviim is clearly Shmuel. Shmuel Hanavi. Are the Zekanim and the Shoftim the same person, people? Some people say yes, the Canaan is just another name for the Shoftim. Other people say no, that there is another period of time between Yoshua and Shoftim. There's a Canaan which we know nothing about. So this Sefer in general is something that we're not solid on the order of it. We know in general we can give you. And the end of the story clearly happens in the time of the Shoftim. That's why it's here. The question is the actual building of the Pesel Micha. We're unclear as to when that happens. Another source that would indicate that this is a much earlier story, or at least earlier, is the Gemara, at least Rashi on Sanhedrin. If you look at number 5, Tana, Hu Navat Hu Micha Hu Sheva Ben Bichri. Navat, Micha, and Sheva Ben Bichri are actually all the same person. Navat, why is it called Navat? Shenibet v'lora. He looked and he didn't see. Micha, shenismachech v'binyan, because he was almost crushed by the building. U'mashmo Sheva ben Bichri, but his name was actually Sheva ben Bichri. So what's this? Micha was almost crushed by the building. So looking at Rashi, Nisrach b'binyan shamitzrayim shenot nu b'binyan b'mokom levana conforced by Godov. So if you remember, there came a point where Paro tells Moshe, listen, you're not doing enough work, I'm going to stop giving you cash, I'm going to stop giving you the straw to make the mud bricks, Right? You're going to have to get it yourself, and you're still going to have to make the same amount. Esmas konis halaveinim. The number of bricks that you're going to have to produce will not be minimized. What if they didn't make the numbers? So they would take children and use them in some places of bricks. So one of these children was Micha. Kin mefarish ba'agada. Shomo Moshe v'akosh baruchu. Ata harayosa l'amazah. Moshe, the end of Parsha Shmos, beginning of Parsha Era, says, look what you did. You made things worse for them. She'achshav im ein rahem levenim mesimim b'neim shal yisol b'binyan. So God, how are you allowing this to happen? There are not enough bricks. They're putting children there. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu kotzim heimechalim. They're just getting rid of the thorns. Shagolei lefana iru heimchayim hayirisham gemurim. These children that are being put to death that way, were they to live, they would be Risham Gemurim. Vim tirta, tinasa v'hotzi yachav mehem, hal v'hotzi es Micha. He said, if you don't believe me, try it. He took Micha. That's a very difficult Rashi on many, many, many levels. Right? It's difficult on the level of Bechira Chafshi, obviously, etc., etc.
That's,
what? Yeah, I mean, right, the idea, this, it seems that people are much more preordained than we would like to believe. We believe that people have a lot more free will. That's beyond the, I will note the problems, but not discuss them. I brought this down, not for that, but to point out that Micha was born, according to this, at the time that they were sort of leaving Mitzrayim. Right? Micha was alive in the time of Mitzrayim. That's what we know from this. So, again, chronologically, it could go either way. Okay, let's go back to the story. So Micha and his mother, Micha steals from his mother, he does a great amount of tshuva, gives it back. His mother says, no, it should be hektish, so he makes himself a Beis Avodah Zarah with the Pesel Micha in it. His son is the Kohen. There is a young man from Beis Lechem Yehuda who's from the Mishpacha of Yehuda, but he's a Levi. And he lives there. Hu gar sham. What an odd choice of words. We'll see later why those words are used. Actually, we can tell you, because his name is actually Gershom. Gershom is, he's the son of Gershom. Gershom is the son of?
Moshe.
So this is Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson. So he's looking for a place to live. He's kind of wandering. He shows up to Hari Ephraim and shows up to the Beis Micha, as you will see on your handy dandy map. Thank you, Allison, for bringing them in. Yehuda and Ephraim are not that far from each other, right? Beis Lechem Yehuda appears on the map. It's not, as you'd expect, it's not far from Yerushalayim, right on the Binyamin. Binyamin's kind of right on the other side. You have the Ephraim. You see where Shiloh is, right? It's almost directly north. We know that we're not far from Shiloh here. So it's not very far. You just cross over Binyamin, you find yourself there. So as we know, Micha was a good guy. He invites him in and says, oh, what are you doing here? He said, I'm a Levi and I'm looking for a place to live. I'll live wherever I find. Vayomer Micha, Shvayim Adi, Vayeli Avro, Kohen, Venochi, Tilcha, Aseres, Kesef, Vayomim, Vayrech, Begad, Michiascha, Michiascha, Vayelecha Levi. So make you a deal. I'm looking for a Kohen, you're a Levi. I guess you can probably do this. And for this, I'll pay you 10 zav, and I'll give you clothing, and I'll feed you. So in fact he takes him up on the offer, and Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson is now the chief Kohen to Avodah Zarah for Micha. We'll get to that. Okay. We'll say next parak. We'll get to that. Vayoel Halevi Roshevas Esaiish, Vahi Anaro Kachamibonov, treats him as a son, Vayamale Micha Sayad Levi, Viro Anaro Kohen, Rehibe Ves Micha. And it's all working out great. Vayomer Micha, ata yadati ki yetiv anari ki hayori halev rekoin. Now he says, I'm feeling very good because I know God will take care of me because I've gotten this important person to be my Kohen. Perek Yud Ches starts off the same way as we've heard before, by Yamim Ha'im, Ein Melech B'Yisrael, by Yamim Ha'im, Shevet Hadoni Mevakish Nachor Roshevet, Kiro Nothlolo, Ad Hayom Ha'u B'Soch Shifte Yisrael B'Nachor. So what happens at this point? So I'll just note in Perek Vav of Pasuk Yizayin, it said, by Yamim Ha'im, Ein Melech B'Yisrael, Isha Yerusha Ben Av Yaseh. We start off by saying, why the repeat? One could read this as assuming that this story is not flowing chronologically. Meaning that it's not a matter of shortly thereafter this happened. But no, Micha had been set up for years. We have this base Micha, which was a base of Avodah Zarah, and they had this person as the top Kohen. And years later, like, could be other stories happened in between. This happens, right? So that could very well be read as why we are repeating the same idea by Yamim Ha'im, because these are different times. So what's going on here? So let's take a look at the map of Shevet Dan. Dan, as we said, in terms of people, was the largest of the Shvatim. However, in terms of size of their piece, it's not the largest. Far from it. It's pretty much the smallest. Therefore, Dan is feeling pinched for space. Also, as is made clear, if you remember, Yeshua was not successful in driving out everybody from Eretz Yisrael, and therefore, even in what they had not conquered all of this, so they have actually less than this. And there's a need for expansion.
Sorry, I took a picture.
So, with that, they send out people to say, okay, let's find ourselves some land where we could attack. And that's how we expand. So take five people who are going to be their spies. They said, okay, you know, head out and see what you can find. So obviously, they're heading west, because if they would head east, they'd end up in the water. So they don't have much of a choice. They go there and they end up heading towards Micha, right, which you can see is to the west of where they are. It's important to know when you look at maps, I'll just make an overall comment, that the way people walked and the shortest distance is not always the same thing. We always assume, looking at a map, you go from one dot to the other, the shortest distance is a line. For all you know, that there are mountains in between, there are, right? So for example, if you ask somebody, how do you get here from here to West Rogers, right? You don't say, oh, you just head, you know, 13.8 degrees north. You go on the roads. So too, there were roads in those days also. So it would seem that the normal path ran through the area of Micha, and it would seem that it was basically the same route that also ended up heading south afterwards towards Beis Lechem. We know that in terms of major roadways, there were two of them throughout the time in Israel. One was one that went up the coastline, which was the method by which people who were going from Mitzrayim would be following. And then there's another one that went just to the west of the Yarden. So those were, in terms of the north-south routes, those were the major routes. However, there were also obviously east-west routes, which were not as major and more plentiful. So, but either way, it makes sense that if you're heading out from Dan, you're going to end up in Beis Ephraim. So they say to him, they realize, hey, we know this guy. How did you get involved in this? So said, yeah, well, here's what happened, tells him the story, and now, so I'm now working for him. Said, so tell us, are we going to be successful in our trip? Said, yeah, in fact, continue on your way and you will be successful in that which you do. Just to get a little bit of an insight into that discussion, it's a very, very strange discussion. Well, it would seem from there, right, if you, a simple reading was, when they first meet Gershom, actually the son of Gershom, Yonasan, they say to him, how did you get involved in this? Well, you work in Avodah Zarah. The assumption being that they do not support Avodah Zarah. What's a nice guy like you doing in a place like this? That's the basic, right? However, afterwards they say, well, tell us, now that you got the Avodah Zarah, is this a good move or not? Assuming that they do support it. So there seems to be a certain tension here. So take a look at the Gemara in Bava Basra, which we have number one on Perek Yud Ches. Vayasuru shem v'yamro mi heviyacha haro muma ata oseh uvazer muma v'chapo. So that's a quote that we just read. Amro, Rav mi Moshe ka'asis? Aren't you in the descendant of Moshe? Diksiv be'al tikrev halom? Did it say Moshe who was at the burning bush? Rav mi Moshe ka'asis diksiv be'al ma'zeh bi'adecha? Are you the same Moshe who did the miracles in the staff? Rav mi Moshe ka'asis diksiv be'al v'ata po'i madi? Aren't you the grandson of Moshe who stood together with God? Tasa ko'im avodah zarah? This is what you're doing? No, he said, I have a Kabbalah from my father's father. Better that you should work for Avodah Zarah than to take handouts. So he understood that as literally. Lohi, that's not what it means. El avodah zara, avodah shezara lo, meaning a work that you're not familiar with. Right? Meaning that you were in Russia and you were an engineer. Right? But, you know, you come to America and they don't need so many engineers. So, rather than taking handouts, so get whatever job you can get. That's what it means. Doesn't mean avodah zara, avodah zara. K'iksiv le rav, l'rav kahana, is rav, says Rav Kahana, Nitosh Nivrasa Bashuka Bashokal Igra, Vlotema Gava Rabba Ana Vazila Ve Milso. Better that you should work flaying carcasses in the shuk and getting paid for that than to say this is below me and to take handouts. Kavin Shara David Shemamon Chaviv, we're going to make an announcement at the beginning of Shin next time. Vyoser, we know our otros. So when David Amelach saw that he was very into money, he made him his the secretary of the treasury. Shinamar, Yishevoel ben Gershon ben Menashe negir al ha'otzras. He shavol shmo hol Yonason shmo. I think that shows Yonason. Yochan sheshav v'kel b'chol libo. That he eventually did teshuva. Gemara says. Brother Basra does not have Rashi. Rashi never completed his Perush Ha'aretz, only has in the beginning, so therefore on the side of the Gemara rather than Rashi you have the Rashbam, his grandson. So he explains Sheshav Kel B'chol Libo, number two, Achshav Shehayel Mamon Harbe Yimushim L'Ksiv Yosem Ben Gershom Ben Menashe Hu Uvan of Kohen Moshevet Adani Ad Yom Golos Ha'aretz. So he points out that how do we know? So as the question has been asked, doesn't it seem I'm making an assumption here? Toshal Alpen, nothing indicates at all that this is a grandson of Moshe. So if you look at Pasuk Lamed, in our parak, Vayokimu Lahem ben Eidon es HaPesal V'Yahonason ben Gershom ben Menashe Hu Uvanav. Right? Everyone has that? So they finally identify him as Yonasan, the son of Gershom, the son of Menashe. Now what's notable about the word Menashe? The nun is off kilter.
Moshe.
Right. Oh. Right. So the idea was that they were trying to cover up a little bit, but this was Yonasan, the son of Gershon, son of Moshe. Right. Why a nun? So there's interesting discussions as to why the Heber of Neventhal is a very interesting piece on it. But this is basically pshat, that this is what we're talking about. Right? The fact that the nun is written, even in the cloth, askew to indicate, and yes, Moshe had two sons, and one of them was Gershom, that would support. This isn't just a matter of, you know, we have a midrashic tradition, there's more to it than that. So,
if it weren't Moshe, what would the nun have meant? If it's after and half, not
right, you know, you're going to
have the action to not be Moshe.
You can say this is just Menashe, and it's some reason they're alluding to something else. And yeah, we don't make up drushes. So, if you wanted me to, I could try. Right, so that's what the basis for all of this discussion is. Now, what the Rashbam goes on to discuss is the fact that how are you telling me he did tshuva if the end of the parak says that he stayed in this job until the time that Bnei Yisrael went into Golos? So, the Rashbam's...
How do you live there long?
What? Him and his children. I mean, it stayed in the family.
Uh-huh.
So, the answer that he is that he did tshuva, but then he got fired when Shlomo took over, so he went back into the Avodah Zarah business. Okay. Let's pick up the pace a little bit. We're getting a little late here. So let's go back to pshat. So we have this discussion. They ask him, so what's going on here? And he said, no, this is exactly the right thing. Moshe Rabbeinu himself said it. There was clearly a misunderstanding here. That's why his grandson's in the business. They ask, is it going to work? And he says, absolutely. So when they find these people in Laish, the people in Laish are living peacefully, they're living out on their own, a nice piece of land, there's no one near them. These are the best people to attack because there's no support. They're peace loving, those are the people we want to go after. So they went to the and they said, what's the deal? They said, we found the ultimate place. We were going to go to Laish. There's a nice amount of land there. It'll be an easy war. Don't be lazy. Don't wait a second. This is our time for expansion. So they send out 600 warriors to fight the battle. So they went to Kiryat Yearim. Where's Kiryat Yearim? Kiryat Yearim is still around. Kiryat Yearim now has a city within it known as Chicago. Is supposed to be so Zionistic. What's with it? Telstone is in Kiryat Yearim, right? It's right next to Abu Ghosh, and it's not far from Yerushalayim. It's a little south. As you can see, Yerushalayim is on the south border of Binyamin, right? Bordering on Yehuda. So this is right on the other side, sort of between Bethlehem, Beis Lechem, and Jerusalem. So that's where they are, and you can see they're going to come through Binyamin to attack. That's where they set up. Actually, they're going to attack here. Laish is more near here. So they went, and after they're victorious, they go right back up, as we said, Beis Lechem to Beis Micha. Must have been a normal route because these are the second people we see coming there. Right? The Kohen came up the same route.
So
when they come back to the Asmich, they say, you know, that house in there, it's got an Avodah Zarah, it's got an Eifod, a Trophim. You boys know what to do about that. So the 600 warriors are going out to fight a war. Vayasuru shama ve'lo el beis hanar ha'levi beis micha v'yishavu lo shalom. So they knock on the house of Avodah Zarah. Yonasan answers the door and they say, how are you? V'sheish me'os ish chagurim klei milchamtam li'itzavim pesach ha'shar shem yibnei dan. And he opens the door and he sees 600 warriors armed to the teeth waiting for him. And they walk in, they say, we're here to take it all. And there's nothing they can do about it because you have an army knocking on the door. So they take everything, including the coin. So Yonasan says, what's going on here? He said, be quiet, don't say anything. You're coming with us also. Think about it. This is a career opportunity for you. Is it better to be the Kohen of just one Beis Micha? You could be the chief rabbi of Dan, or chief Baal Avodah Zarah. You could be head of the archdiocese here. This is your big chance. You won't make you a bishop. So he says, okay. Vayitav lev ha-kohen, vayikach ha-seifa v'esat trafim v'esat pasal, vayavo b'keravam, said, I'm with you. Vayifnu vayechu vayosimu v'esataf v'esamikne v'esakfu l'ifneim. They took everything and they were clearing out Micha. So the people from the house of Micha said, what's going on here? They ran after Don to say, what are you doing here? So Micha and his people and his loyalists come up. Don said, well, excuse me, sir, what's your problem? He says, what's my problem? What do you mean, what's going on here? You cleared me out, you took everything including my Kohen, and you want to know what my problem is?
Don't
mess with us because there are some angry warriors here. If you start up with us, it could get ugly. So what did he do? So turn around, he went home. He realized that he had been beaten. And that is the end of it. So Micha is now, the Pesel Micha, together with all of the everything that goes with it, is now taken over by Don. And in fact, now that they have the Avodah Zarah with them and everything, they go and they attack and they are victorious. They wipe out the city of Laish and they take it over as part of Dan. As we said earlier, they had no connections to anybody else. There was no one who was able to come and support them, and therefore they were wiped out. And they take the name of Laish and they rename it Don. Now you're expecting at some point in the story that God gets angry and wipes out everybody. That's kind of the normal thing that happens. In fact, the story ends on the exact opposite note. They are able to keep this together with their Pesel for the duration.
And
And as long as there was Mishkan Shiloh, there was Pesel Micha as well. So the question is, why is this story so different than every other story that we have, not just in Shoftim, but perhaps the entire Tanakh? Right? This is the only case where people get away with it. You know? Micha was a bad guy. At least in his Ben Adam or Malcolm, he was a bad guy. Right? Right? The people from Dun were worse guys. Right? Because not only were they over there Avodah Zarah, but they weren't even nice to them. They stole it. Right? So how is it that they are surviving? So there is definitely a string of thought that the reason that this was allowed to happen was to show the fact that God can hold back. And there are times that God will allow people to sin and say, listen, I'm not insulted. You know, I don't take it personally. Starting off in the Medrash, Parshas Re'eh, Parsha after next week, number 3 on the Yud Ches sheet. Rav Yehuda Barav Simon Omar, Vehem Rochwes Asher Aso Micha. Zer Tzalmane. They took away the pestle, that is the Tzalm, that's the Avodah Zarah. Vesa Kohen Asher Hayelo, Kumra. A Kohen is a priest. They took that also. Vevo Alayish. Ovdim Avodah Zarah, Vehi Matzlechas Biadeim. They were Oved Avodah Zarah. And they were being victorious nonetheless. Not only that, but they went further. That which they were able to conquer from Laish, they gave Karbanos to the Avodah Zarah based on it. Here's a Kodesh Baruch Hu who is saying that even though you have sinned, I am being mevater. I am stepping back. I am not going to punish you at this point. The same idea appears early on in Shoftim, the first parak. Again, first parak might be chronologically when this is happening. Vayagu beis Yosef, v'gam heim beit el, v'ashem imam. Rashi comments, what's beit el? Shenafa begor olam, v'afal pi shedemus micha imam, shayim micha mishevet Ephraim, ne'amar kan v'ashem imam, v'hu shamar Daniel ha'cha shem etztaka v'ronu boshas aponim. That despite the fact that beginning it was in Shevet Ephraim, right, when Micha had his pestle before Dan took it over, in that case it was still in Ephraim, still L'cha Hashem HaTzedakah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Nevate, and he still allowed them to conquer what that which what they had to. The Nitziv tries to discuss a little bit on a deeper level. The Nitziv in his Sefer Hamek Dover on Parshas Devarim, which we've written recently, so it says in the Pasuk by Hashem Hisanat Biru Ma'anchem that Moshe Rabbeinu says that because of your sins God get angry at me. L'havin Hakdamazu. After you have a certain background, Yishchus boning, Amash anu roim sheigiu b'vayis harishon l'avodah zarah b'zman shiloh beis olamim yosemi b'zman gilgal v'novi givam. Said all this avodah zarah happens at the very beginning of the Mishkan when it's in Shiloh. Later on, so what happens to Mishkan Shiloh? Mishkan Shiloh is ultimately destroyed when? Anybody know? At the time of Eli, right? The Bnei Yisrael and Perek Dalet approximately of Shmuel are being attacked by the Plishtim in Afek. The Bnei Eli have this idea that if we took the Aron with us to fight, that would help us. In fact, not only doesn't it help them in the war, but the Plishtim capture the Aron and they head out to Shiloh and they burn down Mishkan Shiloh. Okay? The first two parts I told you were Pshat. The third part is Drash that we have in the Gemara. But we do know, even according to Pshat, that there was a point where Mishkan Shiloh is out. Right? That's for sure. Afterwards, the Mishkan pops up in other places until the point where Shlomo builds the Beis HaMikdash, Nov, Givon, etc. So why does all the Avodah Zarah seem to be happening early on? Va'apelod, or Va'afleod, the Pesel Don She'amad B'Yimei HaShoftim Diyak Kasser She'amad Kol Yimei HaYos Beis HaElikim B'Shiloh. Right, that there was that as long as there was Shiloh, there was also the Avodah Zarah. There seems to be a relationship. Mavur Diyak HaKasser D'Chorv HaShiloh Chorv HaPesel. One would be able to perhaps read into it that when Shiloh was destroyed, so was Pesel Micha destroyed at that point as well. But who Pella? What does one have to do with the other? Avo ha'inyan da hamon Yisrael ha'yu lo'otim achar avodas ha'karbonos. Ba'asha ha'yu yoduim l'skulas parnasa. So at that point in history, everybody wanted to bring karbonos. Why do they want to bring karbonos? Because karbonos are a segula that a person will be able to make a parnasa. Everybody's interested in that. Bivad kol ha-karbonos shel tzibur shenikrim lach-achmi le-yishai ve-kol echer macher b'fnei atmo b'yachin b'chagat sukos b'fnei ha-geshem l'zem. So besides the regular karbonos, everybody would, particularly in the time of Sukkot, which is right before the rain season, for an agricultural economy, an agricultural society, that is the most important time of the year, people would make sure on their own to bring more karbonos. Ha-tachkos k'mo shekosuv the sefer Vayikar b'parshas shor o kesef, right? When we lain on Yontif, so in parshas Emor you have the parshas ha-karbonos. When we lain, we start earlier. We start with shor o kesef. We start with the lochos ha-karbonos before we do that. So the Nitziv there discusses why do we start early. You should just start with the Yom Tov, like we usually do. So he said there's a relationship that people at that time used to particularly bring karbonos. Va'alzeh kosev ba'amos. He came to have them in Israel and the Hashem. Amnon, how you a davar kosher chol yachid lavo dafka l'shilo ol beis olamim. Right, the problem was it was very difficult for people to make it to the base of Mikdash or Shiloh. Right, you see where Shiloh is. If you're living in Naphtali, right, you're living in Eivar Hayarden, right, particularly in Menasher or Seven Reuven. That's a long way to go. So what are the? But they wanted to bring karbonos. What did they do? Rabamos hayu asurin. At that time, you couldn't bring a carbon on a bama when Shiloh was set up. The reason they ran after Avodah Zarah is in order to have different opportunities to bring carbonos. So he said, on the other hand, when there was no Shiloh, right? We know as long as there's no central base of Mikdash, you're allowed to bring a carbon on a bama. Only when there's a central base of Mikdash or a Mishkan, you can't. So the Nitziv understands that this is a reaction. And to a certain extent, perhaps it was Asur, Isser of Azara is a serious Isser, but there was a certain amount of understandable why people were doing this. It's hard to really get a handle on what was going on here. I would think that if you try to explain this, you'd probably have to somehow get into a discussion of Bechira Chafshitz. That there's always a push in the world to keep a balance between good and bad. Right? Everybody knows that if right now God would appear in the social hall and announce that I am the Lord your God, etc., etc., our Shmiras HaMitzvahs would get much better very quickly. Right? If there was no doubt as to whether or not there is God, which we all have some doubt on some level, right? If we really believe that if we do this Avera, the next Y and Z, if we really not just intellectually but internalized it, our Shmiras HaMitzvahs would be much better. However, our Avoda as people, as opposed to Malachim, is to not be so clear and on our own strive for that. So in the event that God would come down here, so therefore it would throw off our entire Bechira Chafshis, our free will, and we would have no choice but to believe in God, and therefore our belief would be on a lower level to a certain degree. So therefore it's always necessary to have somewhat of a balance. One could perhaps say that in the event that the Bnei Dan picked up the Pesel Micha and they went and they fought the war and they were struck down, even though they clearly outnumbered the other people, right, that would be too much of tipping the scales one way. We should have won. However, we took an Avodah Zarah and we lost. That would have made it too obvious that the Avodah Zarah was wrong. And therefore, that would have skewed. What? So again, right, but you could have said that, so you could look at it one that way. I would imagine more people looked at it and said, look, the Aron didn't help. Despite the fact we had the Aron, we still lost. You see that there's no power there. Right, so I think that in most places you could read it one way or the other. Right, that case was an obvious one. I got lucky that you picked that one. You could have picked better ones. But the bottom line is, I would think the best I could offer is that there has to be this balance. That there has to be a time where somebody does something wrong and nothing happens. At least right away. So is that, yeah.
I just think one thing that you didn't focus on, and I throw this out because I just think it really resonates with our modern society, is the, if you really kind of analyze the shot that talks about Snar, who we think is Moshe's grandson, which does make sense to me, especially because they know who he is, which you didn't mention, but they hear his voice and they know him. But he may have been someone that people knew because he was especially if this is really happening.
Right, and particularly the discussion of what with a guy like you.
Right, but what's so interesting to me is, and this is why it resonates, is that this is like a searching teenager. You know, you look at the shot here, and it says, "Be'elah chayishna yirmi be'elah tam yudah labor ba'asher yimtzah." So he's looking, he's searching. He wants a connection to Hashem, some type of connection. And then it says, you know, "Be'evo harafan ma'be'elah halah sodarko." And it makes me think of like so many Israelis who finish the army, they go out to the Far East, and they're looking for something. And unfortunately, they sometimes get taken in by these other religions, like these, you know, Far Eastern religions. And it almost seems to me like this kid is looking for something, and he finds this, and this is the way that he ends up getting close to God. And if we indeed say that it's so close to me, Ryan, that maybe Hashem does have more patience for it, and for the reasons that you said also, that they had, you know, they weren't used to the system of getting to Shiloh at that point, and they had seen the idol worship in Egypt, and this isn't so far from that, and that he's searching for something to get close to Hashem, and so Hashem maybe still has patience with these other.
Right. So I like that. The only issue is, but that doesn't explain everybody else. I mean, this is the entire Sheva done.
Right.
He's Moshe's grandson, and according to the Gemara, he came around. You know, eventually, this is all part of his journey, of the path that he found himself on. But that doesn't explain why Sheva Dunn didn't pay for this.
True.
Right? You know, on him, I'd accept that 100%.
But his journey is kind of interesting.
It definitely is.